What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on The Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Peter Rosenberg!
Shout out to that guy, yes.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
A 1,000% confirmed.
Mage. Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
Mage.
Male.
Major.
Mage.
It's still rooted.
Mage.
Male.
Major.
Mage.
It's still rooted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
I like a delicious chicken.
It was Rapop.
It's professional. Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast is back and almost on the road to WrestleMania. A few days short here of Royal Rumble 2023. From a very brisk and cold New York City, I am your forever 24/7 champion Peter Rosenberg, and joining us from an undisclosed location in the Los Angeles area is 35 at 35 Dipperstein. Hey, Dipperstein.
We love wrestling. Wrestling is great.
It's confirmed. We do. We love it. Dip, you're looking very cash today. Is that like the sweater look again?
Yeah, I'm doing it. This is the new look. I'm big on the button down with a sweater over it and a nice pair of pants look.
I don't mind it. I like it. But when did this happen? What happened?
It's in an effort to avoid wearing a suit. It's a suit avoidance.
Got it. It's an effort because now that you're back to working all the time, you have to be full on Dipperstein presentable, but you don't feel like wearing a suit every single day, and you set the bar too high when you wear the suit every day. Then they expect it's always a suit. And now this gives you that, he clearly put in an effort. He looks like a professional, but he's not wearing a suit.
That's right. And everything is very expensive.
Well, of course. It's the only way. The overpriced, tight, uncomfortable sweaters galore. What material?
This is merino wool. This is merino wool.
What's merino wool?
It's Cashmere Jays.
Cashmere Jays! I figured as much as...
The definition. Merino wool is the definition
of Cashmere Jays. Okay, got it. I was going to ask you one question before we get into the big pre-Rumble. It's a fashion question, actually, so it's a good place to start. And this is an appropriate way to start the episode in general, seeing as last week I spent a good 10 minutes talking to Kofi Kingston about his skin regimen, because he's a beautiful man.
Confirmed.
So my question for you is... Do you, like, the Rumble this weekend, I plan on wearing a suit on the kickoff show. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of a classy way to wear something different under the suit than just the white shirt and tie.
Well, it is winter, and you could do what I'm doing.
Under the sport coat.
Sweater under the sport coat. You could do a sweater vest. Also, I think you could probably pull that off. I don't know if you own one of those, but I would. You know, I could definitely see you wearing a sweater like a V. Do you have a V-neck sweater?
No, but I could get one.
I think a V-neck sweater with the sport coat over it would be a nice look. But I will say it's quite cumbersome on the body. It's not an easy thing. You have to fix the sleeves. You have to really focus on how you put it on, which determines the rest of the day.
The nice part is it's only an hour, so I can survive it.
Well,
for your case, it's a lot different.
What are you going to do? You're going to take the sweater off and put it on. I could see a lot of futzing going on. You know how you like to roll up your sleeves, which I hate.
You hate sleeve roll. I hate when you look right now.
It's not a roll up. It's a push up. You push up the sleeves. You ruin the material constantly.
Ruin.
You ruin the material. Show your hairy arms. There's a you know.
But you can't do that with a sport coat and a sweater.
No. You're stuck.
So that's an interesting thought. All right. Well, we'll continue this conversation because just sometimes. I'm here to help. I want to look nice and I want to look forward. The other day, I was so frustrated that Nate Burleson, who does a great job on CBS doing sports and other things, the other day he decided to go with a more cash look during the playoffs. And he wore a velour Gucci jacket over a shirt and tie with like the tie exposed with the velour. I found it to be the most repulsive thing I've ever seen.
I'd have to see it to really judge it.
Don't worry. I took a picture. I'll send it to you.
Oh, thanks so much.
I was deeply bothered by this. So obviously there is a lot going on in the world of pro wrestling, which we both love and find to be great. SGG, guys, is actually not the physically vacationing. He's the physically working today. That's right. That's absolutely right. There's some sort of trial of some sort that needs him. And it was not the trial of Sami Zayn, which I found to be very disappointing, as SGG left him completely alone. And let's start there on the big Raw 30 last night. I thought the highlight of the night was that seg. I enjoyed the trial. I thought the Jey Uso thing surprised me, and it made me think, oh, there's fun things that you could do here. Of course, what I got my hopes up to happen, I'm sure will not be what happens with it, but I did enjoy Jey Uso saving Sami Zayn at the trial.
Yeah, I mean, it was really well done. I thought it was really simple, but actually really well done. The clips of the clips back and forth was great. I mean, that whole thing is just so next level. It's really the reason that we're all watching at this point, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing that reminds us that we love wrestling and wrestling is great.
Yeah, and you know, I know there was some speculation on our group chat about what the final test will be. I don't think there's going to be any rocket science to that. I think it's going to be, you know, Roman beats Kevin Owens within an inch of his life. And, you know, the Usos sort of set him up to, you know, they set him up to be bashed with a chair by Sammy or something like that. That would really ruin his career, end his career, a career ending shot
right
to the head
right. That they want Sammy to take on.
They want Sammy to really kill Kevin Owens, and he ends up, you know, turning on them. And at the Royal Rumble is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline, and that is probably where we'll go from here.
You mean for the Chamber? That would be the Chamber match. You'd see Sami and KO in a tag match.
Yeah, or something of that sort.
I sent you a picture of Nate Burleson's Gucci velour jacket over the tie. I can't put a finger on why it bothers me so much. And by the way, the guy next to him is wearing a horrifying suit as well. it's just too busy with the tie. Now, I don't know what.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like he tried something and didn't. It failed. It wasn't great. That's not
what you want. I don't want to see Velour with the tie. I'll be honest. I'm not into it. My fantasy yesterday was, I was like, oh, wait, when Jey Uso saved Sami, I'm like, is there a world in which Jey and Sami sort of team up, as Jey did
the same exact thing? Do we get a Sami and Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa or something like that? Which, by the way, would be a great swerve.
And by the way, could happen right now, because it was Sami who had to step in last night and work a match as Sami Uso.
And the let me say, how interesting was it that Jimmy Uso injury was clearly a work, but they still threw up the sign of real injury.
Right.
I've never seen that before. Have you?
No, not really. No, I don't think so.
That sign goes up when someone's hurt. End of story.
And they talked about it and said, this is the way to make everyone, all the marks like Brian Dipperstein, still think that they could be hurt.
Don't call me a mark.
Sorry.
I'm kidding. Call me a mark.
You change your name. If you legally could, if you wouldn't upset your mother, you change your name to Mark Dipperstein.
It's my father's middle name.
So, and no one calls you Brian anyway, unless you're being a real baby. Then you become Brian.
Unless I'm in trouble or being a baby.
Yeah, then you become Brian. Exactly. So no, I just immediately thought, oh my God, Jey Uso's history with Roman Reigns, him and Sami come together, this could be something.
Yeah.
Well done, man. The last few weeks, I've been open about not being super high on what the last few weeks were with the Bloodline. I thought yesterday really pulled things back in.
Yeah.
Pretty
it's
nice.
Great. It's great. It's a story.
There's a story.
It's something.
There's something.
It's and we something, love
something
plus.
Something plus. It is.
I think it's something plus.
Let's see. The Undertaker came back as the American Badass, which completely surprised me.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it.
I just was completely... Andrew Goldstein always says that when he brought it up, he was like shushed and told to never mention the American Badass again. And the American Badass appeared on Raw 30. Not what I expected.
He didn't want to get in the outfit. Here's my prediction. We never see the Undertaker again as the Dead Man. It's only going to be... It's going to be American Badass or Mark. Like, that's what we're going to get. That's it. Mark Calloway and American Badass. I don't think we're ever seeing the Dead Man again. I'll put, that's my hot take for the day.
Why would you say that? You don't think they're ever going to do the intro again?
No.
For any reason?
Nope. I think he won't do it again. I think that's really it. I think you'll see Taker all the time. Of course. By the way, I prefer never to see him again. Okay? I don't need to see decrep Taker. Okay?
Even Badass? You didn't enjoy seeing Badass take?
I did. I like seeing him. I wish they would have done slightly more with Bray Wyatt. There was a little bit more to do there. I feel like they could have, even if it was a one-time thing, like enter him into the storyline a little bit.
It just didn't really make a lot of sense. Like, why would...
Yeah, what was it? I mean, it just... Have the two of them, I guess, haven't been in the ring together? They have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Many times. They have. So, I just, you know, I don't know if it required a holy-ish chant, but look, the show itself last night, I think ultimately was disappointing in some capacity.
Their Mania match was 31.
Yeah, 31. So you see some great in-ring work from the likes of Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory with a nice surprise at the end. But how many times can Brock Lesnar lose and then come back and still be like, oh, is it him? Is it him? I mean, yeah, it's him. It's him.
It's a good point. And I'll ask you this. How many times can he just sort of screw over Bobby Lashley without, is this not going to lead to Brock and Bobby?
100% it is.
It's Brock and Bobby at Mania. So we're getting, that's good. That, you know what? That's something. I love wrestling. Wrestling's great.
It's good if they tell a story with it. And you if they get, you know, you had MVP sort of part ways
proposition with since you're saying.
I would like to see MVP and Lesnar.
You want him involved in the Lesnar situation?
Yeah. Can we go back to the Bloodline thing?
Please.
How unbelievably mage is Paul Heyman? I mean, is there a man that can get heat more than Paul Heyman? Except maybe Max Friedman?
Oh, the Brock Purdy thing was genius yesterday.
Oh, God.
That was Were you aware that's the name of the quarterback of the 49ers?
Yes.
Like you didn't know. You've heard his name.
Yes, of course.
So yeah, the idea that he...
I understand that why you would think I may not, but I do, sure, yes. Sure.
The idea that he would get the Philly crowd to really get against them instead of cheering them by saying that the Eagles were going to lose to Brock Purdy was a stroke of genius.
He is... Oh man, I hope he's around forever.
He was fantastic last night.
Unbelievable. Some of his best work.
I mean, we haven't even talked about the fact that he calls Sammy Schmooley. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. A straight up like Yiddish nickname for Sami Zayn. It's the nickname because the Hebrew name for Samuel is Shmuel. So Schmooley is the nickname. And he's just completely changed his name to Schmooley, which is absurd and hilarious and great.
I love it obviously.
Yeah, last night was good for the bloodline. The LA Knight, there was a lot of like
about LA Knight. Let's do 40 minutes on LA Knight.
I can do 40 minutes on LA Knight.
There's so much to unpack here with LA Knight. Okay he's clearly like the foil. He's meaningless in the story. That's what I've learned. Yeah, meaningless. I mean, it could have been anyone. This could be anybody.
Okay, keep going. I want to keep going.
This man, and I've said it like five times now on the podcast and privately to friends, this man who I don't dislike, but he has clearly studied like how he thinks like a wrestler should act. And he went through his own personal Tough Enough. Here's how you do a promo. Here's that you should have, a catchphrase. You know, like he should, you know, your upper body should, you know, like he knows how to move his body around in the ring. He knows how to talk to the crowd. But like it all seems like a little too contrived.
You're saying he's the physical definition of I love wrestling. Wrestling is great.
He's trying so hard to be a wrestler, a pro wrestler, that it's just sort of like a little cringe.
That's a very interesting take.
I feel bad saying because he loves wrestling and believes wrestling is great, and so do we.
Right. So he's one of our people.
But he's like, bro, like the yeah thing. You're not Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay. He's dying to be Steve Austin. And maybe he will be.
Did you follow any of me and Andrew Goldstein's argument about this week over text?
No.
I mean, Goldstein thinks that he is the best talker in the company by leaps and bounds.
He is a good talker, but it's a little contrived.
Exactly. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
It's like what meets oh hell yeah.
Well, of course, it's the only way it can be seen. Hold on, real quick. There's a which thing here? Hello. Miss Hatton?
Yes.
Hey, you're on the Cheap Heat podcast with Brian Dipperstein and Peter Rosenberg.
Oh, hey guys. Acknowledge me.
You're fully acknowledged.
Hey.
I'm acknowledging your beautiful photography.
Yeah, you're fully acknowledged. How are you?
I'm good. We just wrapped the first location of this photo shoot.
Okay.
This is pretty mage, and we're heading to the second spot. Just had a bacon, egg, and cheese. Don't be jealous.
Wow, major. What kind of bread for that bacon, egg, and cheese?
It was on a bagel.
Not an English muff.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah, good for you. What kind of bagel? Yeah. What kind of bagel are we talking about?
Well, it was already pre-made. As everything's they got catering or whatever. It was a plain bagel.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But it was good. It was good.
I'm going to tell you straight up, I haven't had a plain bagel in 25 years.
I know, same. Who orders a plain bagel?
I know.
That's a crazy. Here's the thing. When you get it, you buy a dozen bagels, you know, whether, you know, your people staying at your house, you buy it for your family, whatever.
Yeah.
You always throw in one or two plain, a couple of plain. Wants the plain.
But no,
people
see
plain, it's a last resort. It's last resort.
To me, you throw in the plain for like children. If there's like a 3-year-old there, it's like here, there, that way. Right,
who doesn't quite have the egg everything taste buds yet? Or... You know, the pumpernick.
Pumpernick, yeah, sure.
By the way, pumpernick, a very rare order for me as well, but when I do have it, when it's an option.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a very unique tasting bagel.
Natalie, do you have anything you want to offer to the podcast or that you need to tell me privately?
I need to tell you privately some stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Should I say hold? Should I have Dipperstein hold on for one second?
No. You're good. You're good.
Okay.
We can talk about it later.
Okay. I'll let you right back.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
There she is.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
So, LA Knight.
So back to LA, the LA Knight. Oh, yeah. So the conversation. So Goldstein basically thinks he's leaps and bounds above everyone. And I'm like, yeah, I think he's a really good talker. I didn't watch him in NXT. So I also feel like I don't know who he is.
No, I watched him in NXT.
He was the Maximum Male Model. So for me, though, he was the Maximum Male Models guy. And then he went back to another name, but like I didn't get explained who that is. So I'm a little lost on who LA Knight is supposed to be, which makes your point even more so. He's wrestler guy. He's just like, I'm pro wrestler. That's
cocky. I'm cocky pro wrestler.
Cocky pro. I'm in great shape. I'm handsome and I'm a pro wrestler. Damn it.
And he's a little old. He's like slightly older, which I like too.
Of course you do.
Yeah. He's not like a kid.
How old is? Let's see. How old is the LA?
36.
You're going 36.
38.
40.
40. All right.
Yeah.
So
he's wrestler man.
Yeah. So yeah, he can definitely talk, but he needs to. The thing is a little contrived, bro. Like, slow your roll, okay? Let us discover your yeah, okay? We don't need your yeah yet, okay?
I only just noticed the yeah, and
it's his cut. He wants it. He's trying to make it a thing.
I was ignoring it. I was like, what is this with the yeah? I hear you. So wait, so real quick, if you think he is just the nothing foil who's going to be.
He's the nothing foil.
He's going to be tossed aside in moments of Jace.
Yes.
Then who is Bray getting at Mania?
Uncle Howdy. I think he's getting his brother.
You think we will find out that it's likely Bo Dallas being revealed as Uncle Howdy and they have a match?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we have time for that still.
Yeah, of course.
We still have over 2 months.
Yeah. We know that he can wrestle. We know it's a wrestler from the thing he did from the, what's it called? You know, what's Bray's
Sister Abigail?
Called? He did the Sister Abigail. We know he's a wrestler. So it's Bo, you know, look, by the way, how many times have I said I would love to see Bo Dallas? Bo Dallas join the Wyatt family back in the day.
So have
back
I. Back a few I'm years with ago. You. I'm with so you. I'm a believer.
Of course. So him now coming back as this awesome macabre guy.
Oh, I love macabre guy.
Macabre guy character. The whole thing is mage. The whole thing's great. I'm all about the Uncle Howdy. I want to see how Alexa Bliss finally reveals herself in this story. This is something, and the bloodline is something, and the Uncle Howdy story is something. Everything else is something minus or nothing, in my opinion, right now at this moment.
Something minus. You don't want something minus. I mean, that's not what anyone wants.
No. I mean, what is the judgment day at this point? They're not even, who are they judging at this point? I don't even know who they're judging. They're just, they're purple. They're the purple gang.
They're the purple judgers.
They're the purple gang.
Yeah, judgment day.
Dominic looking a little bit more like a wrestler though these days, and also seeing him much more comfortable in the ring, just in the minute to minute in ring work. He seems better. He feels like an adult. He's, I think, in the gym. Dominic, to me, feeling like more of a pro wrestler. We love pro wrestling. Wrestling is great vibe.
I agree. The biggest mission, in my opinion, for the Judgment Day right now, for everyone in that group not named Rhea Ripley, how do we keep up with Rhea Ripley and how made she is? And because if you're not careful and they don't come up with the right thing for them, it's going to end up being there goes Rhea and there goes the Judgment Day. And she is the mage one, and she moves on.
Great.
Dominic's in a bit of a different place. Like, Dominic is going to have an opportunity, even beyond the Judgment Day, to continue to grow this thing, because the name awareness and brand that he is as a Mysterio is so mage. Really, the most pressure ends up falling on Priest and Finn, because this has been a big opportunity for them. So I wonder where we end up landing with the Judgment Day. Did you see the complaints going, you don't go on Twitter, but there was a lot of complaining last night about the Bayley cage match being cut.
I didn't have time to see that whole segment, but I saw that it was cut short.
It wasn't a real match. Well, yeah, the match didn't
happen. It was a schmoz, right?
Yeah, the match didn't happen.
Right. I mean, it should have happened. That would have been great. But
yeah, so a lot of people were angry about that. It was moving around quite a bit. The Bella Twins put up a video saying that they didn't think that in the history that was covered on Raw 30, that there was no real, they didn't spend any real time on the Women's Revolution. So there was some hubbub going around this subject.
Yeah,
there was also, though, a very mage segment on the flip side, I thought, with Charlotte, who I must note, in my humble opinion, I'm sure Dip could disagree, knowing him, he will. This is the best good guy version of Charlotte we've ever seen. She seems the most comfortable on the mic she's ever been, and she seems like, in this moment, she's actually, something has changed where she feels like an actual good guy, not just like she's waiting to be bad guy Charlotte.
I would agree with that. I haven't given it too much thought. I do feel like they could have focused more on the Women's Revolution and sort of just the women, the female contribution to you know, Raw.
I am surprised that happened. That is,
we saw Lundra Blaze, but she was just playing poker.
Right. Everyone's playing poker. People are playing.
They don't stop playing poker. They're playing, they're betting and betting.
Oh, and then we have to make our complaint that we make every time he appears. I mean, can you do any less with Hulk Hogan? What's even the point? What is the point?
They gave him a faulty mic.
Oh, my God. He didn't catch any breaks with that. So, like, they run live mics 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They never have a problem. Hulk Hogan walks out. So,
you know what?
That was a bad break. But the fact is, for years now, Dip, all he does is say the catchphrase. Yesterday, it was the then, now, together, forever. Like, he has to say the company phrase, and that's it.
Maybe he doesn't want to do anything else. I don't know. I doubt it, though.
I mean, Flair actually comes and talks like a human being.
Let me tell you what they should have done last night, okay? What they should have done.
Please, can you tell us what they should have done last night?
Okay. They should have started or ended with Flair, Hogan, Austin, Cena in the ring together or something like that, some version of, like, whatever, and like some sort of stare down or some sort of fun segment with a Mount Rushmore type vibe.
Mm-hmm.
They did that a few years ago at WrestleMania, you know, but it would have been nice to see the generations of people who carry the torch. Let me tell you what they should have had. They should have had Austin, Cena, Hogan, Flair, and Roman in the ring together. Or they should have had Roman. They should have had Flair and Roman, or Hogan and Roman in the ring together. That kind, that visual. They missed out on a lot of interesting, you know, even if you had Flair, Hogan, and Roman in the ring together doing a segment.
Oh, dear.
They missed out on Roman connecting with other goats.
Ooh, this is a very good thought. This is, you know what? I can tell when you say things like this, that you not only love wrestling, but furthermore, believe that it's great.
No, yeah.
Because I can hear, that is a great point. And frankly, if no one is confident in Hogan's mic skills in the arena, which is, it seems like no one is, okay? Then, yeah, just record a backstage with an opportunity with Roman to rub up against him. Even if Roman's a little bit of a dick to him and wants him to acknowledge him, you know, whatever.
Right. But like, how cool would it have been to even see them walk past each other and size each other up in the hallway?
Mage. Just to size up.
You're talking about Hulk Hogan and Roman Reigns.
Would have been Mage, dude. That's okay. It's honestly, it's the best. You've been on the show for several years. Most of what you say is just Michigasa nonsense. That was something. You just delivered. No, so, that would have been a great moment.
They miss out on these things because they feel like the need to have DX come, like what, like I love DX. Okay.
We just had this.
We just had it. Sean finally looks a little bit better than he did a couple years ago.
There was funny in there. They did a fine job.
It was fine. But like, again, I don't need, and I'm contradicting myself because I just said we should see Hogan and Roman Reigns or Flair and Roman Reigns, but we don't need like DX to quote, like put over Imperium or put over blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't need to see old school, new school like that.
Where it's random.
Where it's random. Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that.
Yeah, because they didn't put over Imperium. All they did was basically joke around and say, we're too old to fight you, but here are the Street Profits and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is that doing? But my question, what is that doing for Imperium?
It's doing nothing. That's my point, too. Triple H looks like such a badass still.
He looks great.
He looks great. Thank God, man. After all, like, he's the
and Road Dogg is, and Road Dogg is, man. Of course he is. And Road Dogg's still very funny.
Yeah.
And I thought X-Pac actually looked pretty good. They looked good last night.
Sean looked better too.
And it's funny, Angle looks terrible until he starts reffing. Then once he started doing something, he actually looked okay. But when he walks down to the ring with them, he looks so much older than the rest of them.
I thought everyone looked pretty good. Flair looked pretty good last night too, regardless of the suit. He came out there. He didn't fumble and mumble his words.
No, he was very good.
I thought he was great. He looks good. It looks like he's in pretty good shape physically. His face looked good. He didn't look distorted or different. You know, he looked pretty good.
How about IRS? Let's review how everyone looked. How did IRS look?
He looks gargantuan. By the way, he's one of the him and DiBiase,
sneaky are, gargantuan.
Yeah, like they're and Road Dogg too. Like, but Money Inc. You walk. I mean, I've walked past them. Been lucky enough to meet them and be backstage with them a few times. They are enormous.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, IRS is huge. And back then, watching him 1991, 1992, didn't look that big.
No, relative to all the other monsters they were in the ring with?
Yeah. So anyway, look, the show was, it was an enjoyable 3 hours, I'm not going to lie. The Bloodline thing was Mage. I just feel like, you know, they miss opportunities they have to do the greatest hits of like, we don't need the same thing over and over. You know, we don't need Million Dollar Man making a money joke. We don't need APA walking through the door. We don't need DX coming out and making a few jokes. We don't being a little like raunchy AJs. We don't need that anymore. Like
right.
You know, but anyway, let's talk. Switch gears for a second.
I would love switching gears. Where do you want to go now?
The I don't know if you watched Dynamite this week.
I watched some Dynamite.
Oh my God. The Bandito Daniel Bryan match.
I did not watch Bandito Daniel Bryan. Highest levs?
Highest levs. Five star.
Five star?
Yeah. Dude, Bandito, who I had been watching in PWG now for years, whenever I go, he's the main attraction or has been for a while. This guy is over like a rover. I would share an egg everything with Bandito any day of the week.
Wow.
If there was one egg everything left in the bag.
You're giving it to Bandito?
I would split it with Bandito, and if I didn't cut it evenly, I would give Bandito the bigger half.
How old is Bandito?
I don't know. But he is next level good, and he's explosive in the ring. He's freakishly strong, and him and Daniel Bryan have insane chemistry. That match was the highest level. You have to watch it.
I'll tell you this. I'm watching clips of it right now. I will tell you.
I don't even know what it was. There's moves I've never seen before. I love when AEW has a match, mm-hmm. and they have some of the best wrestling in the world on television.
They love wrestling.
Oh, they think it's great. And you watch one of these matches with like two incredible in-ring guys, technicians, and you see a move you've never seen before. I love that.
Is true. That is true.
I love that. There was a move I've never seen in my life that they did. Bandito's finish is so crazy good.
That moves that only Excalibur can call. Yes. No one else on earth knows what even the name of it is, but Excalibur does. I got to tell you something right now. In this very moment that we're living in, AEW is having a bit of a comeback with regard to the quality of the show. Definitely having a bit of a comeback. I do. I think for the last few weeks now, it has felt a little bit more stable. Actually, I said this. You weren't here when I said it. Honestly, kind of since Mike Mansouri took the seat that he took at AEW, it's kind of been feeling a little bit more like something consistent week to week. I think it's getting better.
L'chaim.
Oh, and there's Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who's, by the way, he's getting ripped to a degree that's like, it's not even normal.
He looks awesome.
He looks like an absolute freak right now. It's crazy.
I mean, look, they have stars, man. Ricky Starks. They have Bandito now. They have Max Friedman.
He's Mage.
The Acclaimed.
Loves wrestling. Yeah, sure.
By the way, I'll talk about great on the mic. People who have evolved to become like something, truly something. The Ass Boys. I'm not saying they have the best look because they're not ripped to shreds and I don't love their gear. But the Ass Boys are incredible on the mic.
So you're saying with the Ass Boys, it's not just a catchy name.
Confirmed. Ass Boys are great. They have stars, man. They really do. Darby. Mm-hmm. They have tons of stars.
I don't think anyone's ever questioned the talent there. It's just about too much Michigas. Too much nonsense week to week where you don't know what's going on and who this person is and why they have a problem with this person. You can look up at any given segment and there's so many people involved. Like who's Matt Hardy with right now?
I don't know. Yeah. The stables are too inconsistent.
The stables are just whatever.
The whole Jeff Jarrett thing, I don't know what's going on there either.
But it's hard to follow.
Jeff Jarrett looks great too.
I also loves wrestling. Mm-hmm. So, Dip, we are now just days away from the Rumble Royale in San Antonio, Texas. Not too late for you to change your mind and fly in. If you want to come, wrestling is great. And by the way, never greater than at the Rumble. It's truly the most fun. It's just the best. What thoughts, like what are your T's heading into this weekend? Do you have a definitive male and female winner? And is it too cliched at this point to just be like, oh, yeah, it's going to be Cody Rhodes?
No, it's going to be Cody Rhodes.
Okay. And on the women's side?
I think it could be. I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know who. I really, by the way, they've done a great job with it remaining unpredictable for the women's.
I agree.
So I'm excited for it.
You don't know which title is going to be called out.
I mean, who could it be? Is it Alexa Bliss wins the Royal Rumble? Alexa Bliss win. By the way, that's what I want to see happen. I want to see Alexa Bliss win the Royal Rumble with the help of Uncle Howdy. I hope they do an angle.
Well, because they haven't finished the Bliss Bianca story. That's clear.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Oh, Brian Waters is saying she's facing Bianca at the Rumble.
That doesn't mean she couldn't be in it, but that's right. Their match is at the Rumble.
Oh, right.
But that doesn't mean they end the story there. But presumably,
is it Raquel Gonzalez? Does she win the Royal Rumble?
I'll tell you one thing. She's guaranteed to be a final five person.
Yeah.
Raquel. There's no denying. By the way, the light coming in behind you, Dip, now is very godly. This is how people feel about Dipperstein. This is the shirt. This is the Dipperstein shirt that's coming. Is him coming down like God.
Dip is Mage graphic, gotta tell you.
Woof. It's Mage. It's Mage. Yeah. By the way, I do want everyone who ordered the shirts to know. I'm going to say the word for the third time in this episode. The mishigas between me and the guy producing the shirts is done. We're going to get a fantastic high quality shirt. There were some things that irritated me about this part of the process, but they should be going out today, tomorrow. You should have them very, very soon. So I would say in the next week, those shirts will finally be there. I apologize. It ends up taking around a month or slightly over total. But the shirt you're going to get is going to be, Dip, an absolutely gorgeous garment.
I gotta tell you, I'll be wearing mine to WrestleMania. I expect to see peckerheads wearing this shirt to WrestleMania.
Well, how about this? How about then I hit you with this? I have the official date and time that I'm ready to hit everyone with for the cheap heat and greet WrestleMania weekend, Los Angeles. What are your bleeping tees on that?
I think it's Mage. I think we need to decide if Powers of Pain are showing up at the heat and greet or at Dipper
or to your house. Both are on the table. But here is the information. I'm going rogue here. Sorry, Ted, because he hasn't put out his flyer yet. I won't give you all of Ted's information. I'll allow him to tell his own story. But just so people can start making their plans, WrestleMania Dip is April 1st and April 2nd at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. I don't know if you're aware.
No, I am.
Our heat and greet will be Friday the 31st at 5 p.m. So it's sort of like we've done breakfast the past couple of times. This is going to be more like a happy hour. And I feel good about that time, Dip. I feel like you should be able to be out of work by 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
You can, right? This has to be good.
Yeah,
you might be in your most relaxed moment, like the start of the weekend right there. The thought was, so Ted asked me, is 5 p.m. bad because SmackDown's going on? And I said, well, here's the deal. The kind of peckerheads who are flying in for WrestleMania, are they really going to SmackDown and both days of WrestleMania?
Maybe.
I feel like some will, but that's going to be a lot of people who go to the TV shows. I feel like most people are going to be getting a lot of wrestling, a lot of indie shows that night, which will start at 8 o'clock. That way they can still come to the heat and greet. And I'll let Ted announce the location. Do you know where it is yet, Dip?
Mm-mm. Can you put it in the chat?
It's a place. Yeah, I sure can, because it's a place that you're very, very fond of. I'm excited for you to read this. Don't say it out loud.
Is it at Katsuya? Are we getting creamy rock shrimp?
Oh, I love Katsuya. It is at, ready, Dip? You looking?
Mm-hmm.
It is ready at. Mage. What are your teas?
I think it's look,
it may be the best one yet. It's going to be flipping awesome. So that Friday at 5 o'clock, if you're making plans, that's our
not plan. Downtown. Oh, interesting.
Not downtown. It's sort of in between downtown and where WrestleMania is.
Correct.
That's right. So anyways, we look forward to that. Dip, I kind of feel like to talk about the Rumble more. I'll just give you my pick real quick for the women. I do agree with you. I mean, I don't have another guest besides Cody or Rock. I assume Cody. What about Rhea Ripley winning the Women's Rumble and demanding a triple threat match between both, calls out both, and demands a triple threat match for all the titles? And we get something we've never seen, Bianca, Charlotte, Rhea.
I'm down.
That would be something. I think that could be something. All right, let's get into it, because there's a lot of it today.
Mail.
Okay, I'll go in reverse order. Tim Lane says, that segment, Tribal Court, was dazzling. A culmination of months of storyline made to all feel important and relevant. Awesome mic work, real emotion, etc. I could write 10,000 words about the different threads of plots weaved together that make up this delightful fabric of a story. But last night made one stand out even further. Oh, wow. I haven't read this yet. Sammy and Jay. I mean, it's bigger, more complex than Sammy and Roman has ever been, really. Crazy question. Last night was the first time I've ever thought of this. Could Sammy actually become head of the table and take over as tribal chief, even if just for a night? It seems crazy, but with all the progress he's made with Jay, does anyone want to see him and KO take the titles off the Usos? I don't. If anything, I would be sad to see them going at it. No, the real story is Sammy getting through to Jay that Roman used him, choked his brother out in front of him, and hasn't ever really respected him or loved him the way Sammy has. What if, end of the day, the Usos choose Sammy over Roman? And it's not the Sammy odd man out scenario we expected. It's Roman as odd man out. Unlikely, but felt like it was setting up for that. Cheers. P.S. A Sammy heel turn and maniacally saying he's the master strategist after finally getting his hands on the world title would be the greatest thing ever. I love all the ideas you just gave. I think those are all very mage.
Any swerve with this storyline would be something.
Frank writes us.
Mail.
How awesome would it be if Big E was a surprise return at the Royal Rumble? No one would see it coming and the pop would be gargantuan. I know he has real life issues. We don't know what his health situation is like, but talk about a potential moment. Love listening to the pod. You guys are all great. Frank P. from Iowa. P.S. Hit me up for the Powers of Pain meet and greet at Dipper Lago. I'm down. Frank, thank you. And yeah, shout out to Iowa, the school, the home of the school of Big E. Yeah, man, no one seems to know. I asked Kofi about it. No one gives clear information about whether or not Big E could wrestle. And Big E is enough.
I could see it.
It sort of was intimated or insinuated, and you could have intimated recently that like he wasn't going to be coming back anytime soon. But come on, it's wrestling. Who knows? It would be mage. Aaron writes us.
Mail.
Thoughts on Elias coming in early in the Royal Rumble, getting eliminated, and then coming out a few picks later as Ezekiel.
He can
shave the beard and come out with the trunks. Just a fun spot for the Rumble, Foley-esque. Keep up the great work on the pod, Aaron. That would be fun.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see
you'd enjoy that a little bit.
Yeah. I think I would. I don't know. I can see that, though. Mail.
He said, this is Tyson. He says, it's fun to fantasy book AEW guys into the Rumble. But what are the odds it actually happens? Who do you think it actually benefits? Yeah, zero, by the way. Since we're fantasy booking, let's pretend that the kid and the game actually agreed to talk about this. If, for example, MJF appears in the Rumble, Tony would insist on him being at least top four. But that would make him a bigger star for AEW, and so WWE would never agree to it. Same thing for Hangman, Darby, and other homemade stars. Same thing for major comebacks. Moxley, Danielson, Punk, LOL. If they are under AEW contract, it still benefits AEW. So who would be the guys that if Tony and Hunter had to pick some guys that thought would be beneficial would be for both parties? And this guy gave his picks. These are people he thinks could be beneficial for both. Danhausen.
No.
Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Claudio.
Yes.
Coming back as Cesaro, sure. Eddie Kingston.
No.
Billy Gunn.
Yes. Goro. Billy Gunn, Goro.
By the way, I do love how they so clearly acknowledge Billy Gunn not being there. Like, I appreciate that they don't act like it's normal that he's not there. Both times they've done a DX thing now.
Yeah.
They fully acknowledge, like, Billy Gunn should be here, and he's not. Which I just appreciate more than pretending, like, in the old school ways, like, he doesn't even exist. This is DX.
Yeah.
Anyways, none of that's happening. It's all fun to talk about.
If there's one, besides Max, if there's one person that would succeed in a major way, in a WWE ring, I think I've said it before, but it's Darby. The kids love Darby. I was at Dynamite a couple weeks ago. There was tons of kids with their face painted as Darby. And
really?
I had a little kid in back of me. His favorite wrestler is Darby Allin. I asked. He was 5. I said, who are you here to see? And he went, Darby.
And then Dip said, will you be my son? And his dad said, sir, I'm right here. You cannot have my child. Let's see.
That was the first time I saw Kenny Omega wrestle in person.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Male.
I haven't seen him since his very indie days. Hey, team. Can we play promoter for a second? Does announcing Cody's return move the needle in a meaningful enough way to draw more viewers to the Rumble? Or would 99% of the people who are excited to see him be tuning in already? I won't even read the rest of your email, because yes, of course you're right. I said this last week with SGG. Dip, I'm sorry. He's right. Cody's a huge deal in wrestling. He's not bringing you more eyeballs. So no. Why not just surprise us?
I don't know. You know how I feel about the element of surprise. It's something and everything. So
it's not only something, it's the only thing is what you're saying.
Yeah, but it is what it is. It's over. What are you going to do?
Okay, this is interesting.
Mail.
Frank says, what's up, guys? As I go through my annual tradition of watching old Rumbles leading up to the Royal Rumble, which
Don't we all?
Yeah, I just watched 2007.
By the way, 1995, I hadn't watched for some reason in a minute. It's quite the Rumble.
He said, I made some prop bets below that could be fun for the Friday something. He wrote props. Amount of times it's every man for himself is said across both Rumbles. Over under 5.5 times. Amount of times the announce team warns against a high-flying strategy. Over under 2.5 times. Amount of returns in men's Rumble. Over under 4.5. Either veterans or someone who's been out. Cody no longer counts. Amount of returns in women's Rumble. Over under 9.5, either veterans or someone who's been out.
Are we missing okay, keep going, sorry.
Amount of non-wrestlers who appear, like Bad Bunny, Pat McAfee, over under 0.5. I believe both of those guys will show up in the Rumble. That's my take there.
Wait, who, lesbian?
I believe Bad Bunny and Pat McAfee will be out at the Rumble. That's my personal feeling.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, I don't know when McAfee's coming back to commentary, by the way. The college football season's over. It's still Wade Barrett. They haven't said anything about it yet. So maybe he returns at the Rumble, then returns to commentary. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he doesn't return to commentary. He returns at the Rumble and gets into a story for WrestleMania. Either way, I think we'll see him. And I'd be shocked if we don't see the Bunny. Also, shout out the new trailers out for 2K23 with John Cena. You're a cover man for the new 2K, which I got to tell you, Dip, did you see like the little video clips of it?
Yeah, Mage.
Yeah, it looks very, very Mage.
I think I might get a PS5 just to play it.
Really?
Yeah, what are your teams?
And for a very abbreviated, because Dip has to go, Black Power rankings. I'm black, y'all. What a Mage photo MVP posted last night.
Yeah, that was really something else.
Of him, Teddy Long, and Ron Simmons. Super cool to see Teddy come out and hit his dance. I do wish that I thought there was a funny opportunity missed to make a joke about Teddy Long saying The Undertaker. Because like that's become a really big social media thing. People love Teddy Long coming out and going, and you'll be facing The Undertaker. I thought there was a funny joke opportunity there. And they're like, no, Teddy, we already saw The Undertaker. You know, like a very easy way to play into the memes that sort of exist about Teddy. Dipperstein, you have a busy day of saving Hollywood. And by the way, congratulations are in order without me saying what it is, because I would never reveal your personal business on the podcast. I saw a major movie that I know that you're affiliated with in some way is officially a thing. It was actually reported on our show this morning.
Major.
What are your thoughts? I didn't say, you know what, that's a Dipperstein vehicle, but I thought it. I went, that's a Dipperstein vehicle.
All right.
So ladies and gentlemen, we will see you the Friday before WrestleMania at... at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a great time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. Shouts to Brian Waters for filling in on the boards today in place of the great Troy the Goy. Dipperstein, enjoy the Rumble. For everyone else, I'll catch you Friday for There's Something Going On Friday. And then, of course, the big Royal Rumble and kickoff show, by the way, from San Antonio, Texas. Stay Mage, everyone.
Stay Mage.